You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 56 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. My name is Dio Morales, and today I am joined by some members of the community, Gordon Berg.
Hello, Gold Squadron listeners.
Evan Burles.
Hey, everyone, how's it going?
I realize I said that backwards. It's Bull Riss L first. And I'm joined by Isaac Carter.
How's it going, everybody?
So, just to give you guys a little history, if you're not watching live, which is something new we're going to try now, is recording live. Marcel wasn't available. Nate wasn't available. William wasn't available. And Ron wasn't available. So I was like, all right, and who's going to step up? Who's going to help me out? Because we
bench warmers.
So thank you guys so much. And if anybody else wants to join on in the middle of the cast, feel free to send me a personal Facebook message and I will add you to this group call. It's pretty easy to do. Our topic today is we're going to be talking about playing on stream, some recent history of things that have happened on stream, what to do about it. We're just looking at it from both the caster's perspective, the organizer's perspective, the judge perspective, and most importantly, the player's perspective.
Unlock the hologram.
We're going to be taking a moment and looking first at the perspective as a caster. So here's my heart to you guys and telling you my view on casting and playing on stream. So first, if you haven't seen, we actually just put on our website, goldsquadronpodcast.com, one of the pages is our streaming policy. So I'm going to go through that first so you guys can understand where I'm coming from first, and then we can kind of build off of there. These three gentlemen here can ask me any questions or, you know, kind of go from there. So So it says here, a Gold Squadron podcast, formal and premier event streaming policies. Now, I had to say formal and premier because we're talking about like real tournaments, you know, big time stuff. That's usually the things I'm streaming. If we're at league night, these rules are lax because like I'm the judge at league night and I'm casting and we're also just kind of goofing around and having a good time. So, you know, whatever feels good. So we're specifically talking about big events. So when it comes to game state and judge issues, it really is event to event. I have been at events where the judges say, you know, keep us informed, let us know anything you see, XYZ. It's, you know, and personally, that's the one I like the best when we're being like open communication. They want to know. One thing we did at Adepticon with Chico is I invested in a set of 8 walkie-talkies, and I gave 7 of them to the judges, and there was one at the commentating table. And all it was for was if there was a situation where we had just an issue, which honestly I think we used it twice, where it's like, oh hey, they forgot to put a condition down, a harpoon condition, and the other one was where they called like a regen with an R2-D2 and didn't put it on there. Like they called it, but didn't place it. So we were one, you know, and we got the call from the judge there and they made the decision. It wasn't our decision to make though. So, and then I've been on the other side where they're like, hey, we don't care what happens. Just, you're just here with a camera and you talk and that's your job. I'm like, okay, that's fine too.
You want to discuss that right now or do
sure.
you want to keep going?
Go ahead, Luke. Let's talk
All
about
right.
that.
So you just want to, on two sides of the issue there. It's as an observer, I would say, where's your not breaking the fourth wall, position? Because I would say the use of walkie talkies now injects you into the situation, the problem, if you will. Not that it's bad or good, it's just that, but you are involving yourself.
Right. So that's
being a total impartial observer.
That's the one side of the coin I was telling you. Like in an event, I've had judges say that they want me to do that, and that's my solution for that is the walkie talkies.
Can you imagine if at the Canadian Nationals they had walkie talkies and that there was involvement with the casters, and then we wouldn't have Paul Heaver calling.
Right. Like, it is a, and that's honestly, my decision was a reaction to the Canadian Nationals. Was if they want, if the judges want us to help them, because that's basically what I would be there is like, hey, if you guys want me to help you, I can. We wanted a way to be able to communicate with them and them not have to be by the table. Like, they have a bunch of other places to be, right? How many people did we have at Adepticon? I mean, it was like 300 plus, like around 300, something like that, 290 something.
Yeah.
You know, we needed, I wanted a way to be able to communicate with them and not them not have to just be standing by me, because that's awkward for them. And when I was talking to Chico and the other judges, it really made them feel good to be able to have the walkie-talkie, because they didn't feel pressured to keep asking me questions. They knew that I would just ask if there was an issue. Right. And we got them like earpieces and everything, so that it wasn't like just a walkie-talkie going off like, hey, can you go check table 13 and their harpoon condition? Like, it wasn't nobody knew that I was talking to them, just them, because it was in their ears. And then there is the other side, like you were talking about, Gordon, where what if they don't want anything? And that's when we put up the fourth wall and we notify the audience, like, we're not breaking the fourth wall. Here's the plan. We're just here to watch. And the plan is now, from event to event, is to clearly stay at the beginning, like, what is our policy this time? And I don't know if you guys noticed, I think it was one of the other games, I think it was Destiny, I could be wrong about that, actually put in a spectator note in their tournament rules and said that people watching online are not considered spectators. Did you guys see that?
What are they considered then?
Like, they don't fall into any category. Like, you're nothing. You don't exist. You don't matter, is basically what the gist of the post was. If somebody can find that and toss it in the chat, that's just something I remembered off the top of my head. Yeah.
So here's a question for you, Dion. Are you worried at any point that it's going to become such a distraction that these big events, they just won't let you stream anymore?
That is a concern. And that's the whole reason why I wanted to do this episode, was to kind of give my opinions, get them out there, be able to say them out loud, because all this stuff is usually just heads in by myself, and to try to come to a consensus on how to make people as comfortable as possible and how to avoid that, to avoid, you know, FFG just saying, nope, third party streaming is a no go, you can't.
Well, all right. The only way I think that worst case scenario is going to happen is if the famous incident that you were privy to, right? The twisting of the dial.
Yes.
If you will, Dialgate.
Yep.
And then we've now got another equally, if not now more famous one, where you've got the observers actually calling in and injecting themselves into the process.
Right.
If, let's say, in some nightmare scenario, that just ends badly from a PR perspective, at that point, FFG is probably going to want to step in and say, okay, we can't let this keep happening with our game or become a problem with our game, and so we're going to put an end to it. But short of that, I think streaming the games and having as many people involved is a positive thing. They do it themselves, right? They stream themselves at Worlds. They see it as a value. So they would just want to make certain nothing bad happens, and can they control that? So the question I have for you is there any way to do that where there's an in-between? Or, Dion, do you have to have an either or? Is it purely fourth wall, or try to control it as much as possible with the understanding it could get out of hand and you just got to hope it doesn't?
Yeah, it's, I think, man, that's a loaded question, Gordon.
Well, you would know. You're the one who's been there.
Yep.
But think about it now from FFG's perspective. What if he was watching your product? You know, how would you feel about your game being cast in this light because stuff keeps happening?
Well, I would hope, like, I know that FFG is aware of how much, for them, on their end, 100% free advertising I give them. Like, they are fully aware. They know me by name, and they're aware of me. So I made sure to make that connection with them pretty early and say, hey, what do you guys need? What can I do for you? So I would hope that if they were thinking about shutting this whole thing down and they said, you're done, or they were thinking about how could they control it, that they would come to me first and say, hey, can you do X, Y, and Z, and you can keep streaming? Like, if they came to me and said, Dion, you can keep doing what you're doing, keep the chat out of it, you're not allowed to call a judge, you're just there to commentate, I would rather have that than have nothing at all, is kind of the perspective that I come from. But it is a real possibility for FFG to just come out and say, hey, you're done. I tried to build it in a failsafe, but of course that cannot work. Very easily cannot work.
Yeah, I don't think we're there, but I think you're right. You'd like to think they'd work out some kind of compromise, some sort of ground rules or something to that effect. But I think some bigger incidents than what's going on would have to take place. But it's a very real possibility that that's where it could lead. And I think the only guarantees you have are, here are the ground rules for any non-FFG personnel streaming our game. You must adhere to the following rules, blah, blah, blah.
You know, it's like any publicity is good publicity, right? And Fantasy Flight gets an enormous amount of free publicity just from people streaming. So I think you're going to see these kind of like dial gate and the missed harpoon trigger and things like that happen. But I mean, to them, it's just like straight free money. So even if weird things like that happen, I don't think it's going to be too big a deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real possibility. I mean, you're right. Publicity is costs money, and when it's free, you're like, oh hey, whatever, we'll take it. And I think that's kind of a natural evolution to talk about streams when it comes to the viewer perspective. One thing I think is really important to remember is that the people who are playing are people, and they're not perfect. One thing that I did before this cast, at the end of this podcast, you won't see it live, but you'll hear it in the audio. I actually got to interview Duncan, and we talked about what happened in Canada. And one of the biggest things that just came across was the fact that, you know, not only were people upset in the chat, but they went as far as sending personal Facebook messages and emails to him and his brother saying that they were cheating. And and that is ridiculous. And I'll straight up call you out. If you were one of those people, that's BS, and you shouldn't have. Like, that's wrong. It was a mistake. Like, it happens. But to continue, you know, it's important to remember that mistakes happen, especially by the time you get to the final. Even if it's on a day two, people are drained. People are tired. And mistakes happen. I bet if we put a camera on every single table at every tournament, like the system you're searching for, there's going to be accidents that happen.
Perhaps they
are. Doesn't matter. Nobody
complete.
Plays a perfect game. Absolutely nobody. And
report,
if somebody in a Twitch chat can come to me and tell me that you play a perfectly clean game 100% of the time, I'm gonna call you a liar to your face. I know.
Can I also say something about that game?
Go for it.
Don't you think there's an element of apathy between those two because they're brothers, and what is going to be settled or resolved by either one of them winning that game, especially in the state they were in? I mean, wasn't there a discussion about whether they were even going to play it at all?
Yeah, they didn't want to play. They played that game as a favor to the streamers.
Exactly. So if there were two people who could care less about even the strategy, the level of play in that game, it was them.
Yeah. So
yeah.
When I talked to Duncan about it, like, they agreed that they would play it, like, for real if they were going to play on camera. But it's just funny, like, for people to call them a cheater for not putting a harpoon condition down, like, that makes no sense to me at all. Like, how can, if, so Jeremy missed it, okay? Jeremy didn't put it down, so I don't know how Jeremy's a cheater, because it's to his benefit. Duncan didn't realize it, and to be 100% honest, it's not his job to realize it, it's Jeremy's. And then it just snowballed and became really ugly. I understand what Paul did. He just wanted to make sure that things were clean in the game. But when it came down to it, the attitude and the feel of what happened, it was really negative towards a player. And Duncan is one that already, if you guys don't know, he doesn't feel 100% comfortable even playing on stream, even though he's one of the best players in the world. Like,
well, didn't that happen this weekend where there was a stream, where there was an event, the Campaign Against Cancer, where a stream couldn't actually find anybody to play on it?
Yep. Yeah, it was Aaron Nutley, Steel TV.
Right. So there you go. People are already starting to stay away from it because of the cancerous Twitch chat.
Yep.
And therein is the heart of the matter. You nailed it right there. Imagine what our streams would be like, and I guess the culture around it and our mindsets, if we just simply didn't have real-time commentary shaping and influence our mindset about this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was watching, the system open in Germany this weekend or last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it from work, and some of this Twitch chat was just terrible. And if these people are going to go ahead and message these people, I wouldn't want to play on stream myself, quite frankly.
Right. So I'm putting this out there to hope to have people think before they type, because even though, you know, one of the Ghost Squadron podcast policies for streaming is that the Twitch chat gets deleted as soon as if you weren't there, if you didn't see it live, it's not happening. I've actually even gone as far as I've reached out to Twitch, and I'm going to find out if there's a way to even just turn it off.
I was about to ask you that, because obviously in this day and age of social media, it's the interactivity is the point, and this is just one more aspect of it. And yet it's the poison to all of this. Can you imagine if there you are about to sink the putt to win the Masters, and you're aware of the real-time commentary happening at you, and that maybe someone could even call you as you're about to sink that putt and accuse you of inflating the score to, you know, affect bets in Vegas or something. I mean, it's just absurd. We should not have the ability to have access and influence in what is kind of the equivalent of a sport.
Right. And that's the part that's too far.
The funny thing about that is golf actually had a rule where people at home could call in and let them know of rule violations, and they took that away because they realized how ridiculous it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
What sport was that again?
So golf, like the PGA, had a rule, or they, I don't know if necessarily a rule, but they, people were to call in and say, this person did this on this hole. And they would give that person a penalty from someone calling in from watching from their TV at home.
Wow. That
they took that rule away because they realized how ridiculous it was and how it made, basically, you wouldn't realize you're being penalized until the end of the round or after it happened.
I find that really interesting. I mean, I think that's that's a pretty good connection there and an example of how outside influence can really have a pretty negative effect, and then they went ahead and just said, "Yeah, no, we're done with that."
Well, and it would, and guys were falling apart because of it, because they would find out, you know, hours later, an hour or two later after they played another five or six holes, and it was absolutely disheartening to a lot of these guys. So that's essentially why they took the rule away. Why should someone from home be able to call in when you have judges watching, making sure these things don't happen, even though, like you said, they're human, they can miss them as well.
Right.
You know, what's interesting is I was actually at the Canadian Nationals, and I made D2, and I was playing a guy, and every time he had a weird Rebel Salad kind of list, but had a U-Wing that was his damage dealer, and wasn't thinking too much about it. So I'd shoot at it. You'd have Tac Jammer, upgrade where you can turn one of the attacker's hits to a focus.
Yeah, Sensor Jammer.
Sensor Jammer, that's it. So he would reach over and turn my die to the focus. And, you know, for a minute, I'm like, whoa, dude, just touched my dice. So there's that, like, you know, lizard part of my brain who's ready to freak out. But I'm like, yeah, whatever, man, who cares? Because the card says to turn it over, so whatever. I'm just, not a big deal. And then he beats me. So they asked me to commentate on a stream after. So I'm like, cool, yeah, I'd love to do this. So I get in the commentator, and who do I get to commentate on? The guy who just beat me. And, you know, I was, like, really excited because I knew his list, so I could talk about it. And he was doing that when he was playing the other guy, and it was on stream where he would move his hit to the focus. And people in the chat just lit this dude up about touching the other guy's dice. Oh, it's a microaggression. It's this, it's that. And, you know, it's a game about moving spaceships on a table, right?
Right.
So it didn't really bother me that much, but like they blew up on this guy, and I really hope no one had reached out to him about it, because that was really lousy. But yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah, and that's, and it does say, right, change it to hit to a focus, and it might be,
yeah,
something as much as like that's how he remembers how to do his trigger, right? And if that's what's happening, he's not reaching across your dice pool while you're not looking and changing all your hits to blanks.
No, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's part of the game. And we are in a day and age, and I know people talk about this all the time, where it's really easy to hide behind the internet. It's very easy because you're just, you have an anonymous screen name at most points. And you can say almost whatever you want, and nobody will ever know that it was you, unless people know that your screen name equals whatever. But I mean, how easy is it to just make a fake account and just do whatever you want, right?
You say that, I laugh. My Twitch chat name is pretty much my name, so it's pretty easy to figure out. But yeah, I know what you mean. Well, but you know what though? I think again, I think Dion, you're both close to the same age I am, and you remember a time where the internet didn't exist, right?
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I think maybe that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah, it's a very, very different world. And essentially, it's a form of cyberbullying. I know it's a strong statement, but if you're...
accurate.
Right? You're going after somebody that you don't know for no reason. And I think people need to understand also that, you know, you're just there to watch a game. This whole venture started, I don't know if you guys know, but here's the history between Gold Squadron Podcast and traveling around the United States and bringing all this. The very first world when I was playing, I didn't have a ticket. So I was like, I want to go. I want to be useful. I guess I'll bring a camera. And people liked it, and they were really excited. They got to watch games. And what I feel like has happened is now people feel like it's normal to have, you know, two or three options to watch on Twitch now, or on YouTube, or both. It's just something that you have, like, oh, I could watch live X-Wing most weekends, and that's great. But some people, it's become so normalized, they don't understand and think about the repercussions of, if eventually people don't want to play on stream, you're not only destroying, like, that community aspect of the game, like, just people just having bad feelings about playing on camera. you lose the learning opportunities with having things on tape, right? And just being able to watch them and analyze and being able to catch awesome moments during a game. You're also messing up. I mean, I know people might think this sounds selfish, but like this has now become a business for me, and I'm not making bajillions of dollars. I almost turned a profit for the first time last month and had to replace the computer. Like, I got so close.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I know I watch a lot of your stuff, and you know, I don't think the community, at least maybe for the most part, but I don't think they realize probably how much people that do create these content, how much they work at it.
Yeah.
And how much time it takes. And for yourself, you have a family, and I do as well. So like, I understand that does take some time to that, and people need to realize and appreciate that you're not doing this to, like you said, turn a profit. You're doing this because you enjoy doing it, and if it becomes not fun anymore tomorrow, you can stop.
Right. And I'm not looking, like, I'm looking forward to Worlds when it comes to casting, which it's still a question mark whether I can or not. I'm still working out those details. Hopefully can. But the part of it that I'm nervous about is it's going to be the World Championships. We're going to have some of the best players in the world, most people who are most excited about playing X-Wing all together. And, like, I'm worried about how many people are going to turn me down. The last Worlds, I didn't have, nobody even hesitated. Oh, on stream? Yeah. Let's make it happen. That's awesome. I'm on stream at Worlds. But I'm honestly.
So you're noticing a shift in attitude and behavior about this in the past year?
Yeah, for sure. At Adepticon, mind you, I know that it was for the first day because I was playing, it was Johnny and not me. But just from talking to him, there were several rounds where he had to go to like his third or fourth option to try to catch a game. Now, he was always able to get one eventually, but it's really strange.
Are you making the assumption because people keep turning it down and therefore you think this is the explanation, or are people flat out telling you, I don't want to be torn apart on the internet?
The two biggest things, which was perfect transition. Gordon, you're so good at transitions, man.
Did I not tell you I was going to help you?
A professional.
The first reason is what we've just been talking about, which was, you know, people, quote unquote, tearing you apart online, the Twitch chat, the YouTube comments. The other part is nerfs. So let's transition to that. Okay. I totally understand. You know, you play X-Wing usually in the comfort of your own home or at a game store where you're super comfortable and you're just playing a game. And all of a sudden, Dion comes over and says, hey, I got two cameras, a dice box, and some lights. Let's go play. Sounds good?
Isaac, Evan, have you guys ever been on streamed on a match before?
No. I haven't been on. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you know, man, go ahead.
I haven't been on a live stream. However, it was being videoed for future viewing. Fortunately, something happened with it; it couldn't go out. But there's a lot of nerves there because you know you're being recorded. At least I, because the lights, the cameras, right there. There's definitely some nerve-wracking moments that you're trying to be too perfect, and ships were bumped, and yeah, I could see people not wanting to do it, absolutely.
You know, it's funny because I've been trying to get a stream going. We started a little podcast in our area called Radical Squadron, and everyone's asking us, we want to do battle reports. And I'm thinking, wow, what a good idea. And then, you know, I see the Twitch fallouts and I see the comments. And I'm like, man, this is going to be kind of a thing, isn't it? But no, I've never been on stream or anything myself.
Yes.
Let me see, Dion. I've been on stream, I think, two or three times since this has become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mindset at the time was, yeah, but no one's watching this. And so that's what made it okay for me. And I'm wondering how I would think and feel now You know, what if I was at Adepticon and here was a game, you know, the third or fourth game to determine whether I could advance, and then and I'm being asked to be on the stream. And just all the BS aside from the Twitch chat, I'm wondering what I would think about that, because for me personally, and maybe you can relate to this as a podcaster, is there I am putting myself out there, you know, and I do not position myself as any kind of authority. And yet sometimes you're still placed in that position by my own doing. And so now I've got this added pressure of how much of a chump am I going to look like if I just tank this? Mm-hmm. And now, like, no one's going to listen to my podcast. Why even bother? You know, all of these self-doubts will just like perpetuate or something like that. And you've become a much, much better player in the past year. Do you still have anxiety when you're on stream?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, so there's two aspects. As a X-Wing personality, we'll call it, like, people expect me to do well. Like, it's an expectation now. It's like, oh, you run the Gold Squadron podcast, you do all these things, you give us all this advice, show us.
Yeah, right? Prove it.
And
don't you think there is an association of listenership to success in tournaments?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a relation there. There's a correlation. Yeah.
There is. And then talking about it just as a normal person who plays this game, and transitioning to some strategies and things to think about if you are asked to play on stream. My number one thing when somebody's like, I want to do it, but I'm kind of nervous, I tell them, don't do anything different. Meaning, you are there to play a game. You are not there to put on a show. That's my job as a commentator. My job is the show. Is, you know, let's get ready to rumble and commentate and do all the things and interact with the people watching. The biggest mistake that I've seen people do is they're on stream, there's a camera, like, oh, I need to put on a show now. I normally wouldn't joust this list, but I guess I will now to make sure that we roll dice sooner. Like, that doesn't matter.
Maybe those people are scared to have a boring game.
Right, exactly. They're scared to have a boring game. And here's the thing. Making that choice in a game, you are not setting yourself for success. For doing anything suboptimal on purpose is just wrong. If you're on let me tell you right now, if you're on Gold Squadron podcast stream and you 100% think that the best strategy is for you to castle in the corner for 75 minutes, go ahead and do so. I am not there. Go ahead.
Does that bother you as a streamer, because you know that the views of that game will probably maybe go down because it's not an interesting game?
No, it doesn't bother me, because like my priority has always been players first. I need to make sure players are having a good time, because if they're not having a good time, that's like, It adds to what we were talking about earlier. If people look at the camera negatively, then when it comes to playing on it, less people will want to do it. So, you know, I actually had somebody, they castled for, it was like three turns. It was three turns. And then after they were done, they came up and apologized to me. Like, I'm sorry, it was just the right choice. And I said, no, man, you do you. It worked out, right? You had this plan. And we talked, like, the commentators, I'll talk about myself. When I commentate, I'm always talking about why people are doing things. Do I think it was a right decision or a wrong decision? It never was, man, that was the least entertaining decision ever. It doesn't happen. I want people to play good games, not put on good shows, if that makes sense.
Very commendable.
Yeah, it's not about the views. It's not about any of that. And the idea is, the more content, like, the way I look at it is, like, if I can just get more games, like, that can just cover, sure, but there was one quote-unquote boring game or two boring games, or even if it was a whole tournament of boring games, in that set of boring games, there is good information. And frankly, the people who want that information say, why did this person make that decision during this game? That's going to be an invaluable tool for them. So that's what I'm looking for.
I wish you had been there when Dion and I were commenting on the final game at the SoCal Regional. You could have been our adult. You could have corralled us in, because the guy that was doing the streaming couldn't control us. Maybe you could have controlled us, because we had checked out and decided to argue about X-Wing design.
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand that sometimes things get frustrating. I mean, I was a part of, arguably for this season, one of the other most captivating stream games, right? The Miranda on Miranda final salvo, where the players literally decide to stop playing. And my whole take during that whole incident was, it's about the players. If they don't want to play, that's okay. And
to be fair, I haven't even listened to you. I was busy playing Imperial Assault at the time at Adepticon, and I haven't bothered to go look at that match because I knew what had happened, and I had no interest in seeing that again.
Yeah, it's up there. You can just kind of scroll through and just find the highlights. Like that 15-20 minutes where they're not playing is actually quite fun. It's a fun 20 minutes because they actually come over to the commentating booths, and I asked them, like, do you guys want to, like, tell the people what's going on? And they throw on the headsets and they're talking about it. They grab my Loop and Chewy set and they go and play. They had a good time with it. But again, the game, it was about the players and not like, you know, well, now that this happened, I can't put this video on YouTube. The only reason I can't put videos on YouTube, if that ever happens, is if the file's corrupted or somebody's like cursing up a storm right next to my microphone and YouTube just like doesn't let that happen. So
I keep hearing this, what's your response?
To what? I'm sorry.
What happens if this happens to Worlds? What if two players or the final table Worlds don't want to play?
So my understanding is that when I have to check the waiver information at when FFG releases all that stuff, but I'm pretty sure when you buy a ticket there's probably some small text in there, but I would guess that the FFG staff would probably very strongly urge you to play if it's the final. I think there's very few people who wouldn't want to play the final at Worlds, at least. The only situation would probably be if it's two friends.
Or two brothers.
Or two brothers.
Yeah. I just think back to the Minot Squadron podcast and how D keeps saying, you know, what if this happens at Worlds? What if this happens at Worlds? And I think it's a decent possibility that it could happen at Worlds.
It would be, so when I talked to William and Andrew at our game, it basically was a peaceful protest. It really was a form of like, hey, we need to figure this out because this kind of stuff shouldn't happen. Like, things need to die. And they were playing optimally, and that's another example of that, right? Like, they were doing all the right things, and they should have, to try to win the game. If that happens at Worlds, that is the absolute loudest way to tell FFG, hey, we got to do something.
Yeah, just as a slight side note, so on my podcast I had Ryan Fleming on, and this was, I don't know, this is several months ago, and the point he was making was this hyper defensiveness is breaking the game, and I flat out told him he's wrong. And then the final happened, and so at Adepticon he took me out to dinner, I think, the night before that final, right? That Friday night, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Do I have my timing?
Yeah. Oh, did we lose Gordon? Did I lose audio?
No, I still got you.
Okay. All right, Gordon, we lost you. Come back.
So, you know, it says a lot about the game if it happens at Worlds too. It's not anything about the streamer, right? Like, I don't blame the streamer for that. Like, we all talked about it, right? We always talked about the final salvo and the Dallas Dice app. Oh my God, did you see that Worlds where they just kind of like got up and left? Oh, it's nuts. So it made for an interesting X-Wing news day.
Right.
And again, like, it talked about, like, if the people who are the best don't want to play it, you know, this has got to be something to be addressed. And I'm kind of hoping with all the, looking at Fantasy Flight's news page here, with all the, they just released an Armada fac and a Star Wars fac and a Destiny fac, that maybe in the next week or two we might get something. I don't know what the correct answer is for any of that, but something's probably got to change.
Yeah, and I'm honestly expecting something for X-Wing. If they've released, it's every single game. Didn't LCG, the dead game, come out with something?
Yeah, and I mean, as much as I love Armada, I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, you know, I expect to see something for X-Wing. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm guessing it's going to come out in at least the next 2 weeks, so that there's enough time to do something for Worlds.
Well, and I guess, too, FFG could just come out and say, look, sorry, you can't stream this game. Players don't want you to stream it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's very true, especially when you're in their house, right? Like,
yep. Yeah, and that's the other thing. That as a streamer, I'm always cognizant of, like, at any time FFG could just be like, and you're done. So I try to keep as good a relationship with them as possible. I will tell you, at last Worlds, you know, Frank, one of the designers of the game, when we got to the top 16, like, we were getting everything set up, and he came up to me and said, Dion, what game do you want? Like, he didn't have to do that. But he understands and he knows that people like to watch these games. So he's looking for, you know, he likes what we're doing. It's just we got to continue to steer it in a positive direction.
No, yeah. So, you know, I brought up, so I'll give you an example of what happened to me a little bit ago. I won't name anything. So I was at a tournament and this guy's playing X-Wing because his son plays X-Wing. They've been playing for like 4 months. He puts down Fen Ghost, right? He has no idea how to play it.
Okay.
The guys he plays with just told him it was good. Then he racks up against this other guy who immediately kind of starts berating him about it. Oh, I can't believe you blocked that. It's ruining the game. And I was kind of shocked. And, you know, like, it kind of take me back. I'm so low on the podcast food chain, but you listen to I listen to the crates, I listen to Gold Squadron, I listen to Minex, I listen to Hornet, I listen to, you know, Hit Crit when they were still doing things. And you just have to be very cognizant about how you talk about it. And because people will, just like how a Twitch chat can be cancerous, combined opinions like that can be kind of cancerous. And even though you're coming from a good place where you want the game to be positive, like when you see it kind of get parroted down and hit in real life, that really took me back. And fortunately enough, the guy with the ghost, he was losing all day, so he wasn't even like top table. He was my next opponent, and you know, I was working, he forgot was getting triggers, and I was working him through everything. I was pretty much helping him beat me, because I wanted him to like realize that not everyone's just gonna like attack you for that. But you know, it just goes back how you say, like, it's, we just got to keep positive about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
There's Gordon.
Yeah, see, well, I was on the entire time with the phone. By the way, I just want to say, he just rattled off 20 podcasts there. Did you hear Stay on Target in that list? No. All right.
Stay on Target? Nova? Back to Dials?
No. It's too late, sir.
Sorry.
All right, so to finish my story, the point was Ryan then texts me right away and just says, see, defenses ruin the game because then you end up with Miranda versus Miranda and nothing can happen. So maybe they need an X-Wing 2.0. Okay, go on.
Oh, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. That's not the day. Today's not the day for that one. Oh, man. So wait, we really tangented there.
Sorry, my bad. I meant to bring it around.
No,
but
it's
just kinda
fine.
Lost
it's fine. Focus on the- we're talking about players and when it comes to stream. Anyway, your interactions, you know what? I'm gonna loop it. I got you. Watch this. Interactions like that, even if you're playing against something that you don't like, you got to make sure that you have, like, people skills are super important in this game. Like, you have to be able to communicate with your opponent, and that includes on stream. See? Brought it around, you see? Just end with on stream and it's fine.
Thank you, sir.
and to continue you know, looking at how to affect this on stream stuff and how to make people more comfortable. I did post on Facebook, you know, just that wide question, like, how could we make you more comfortable? And I know one thing when it comes to as a viewer, one thing that I've added is the dice box. I've added the dice box, and that has really changed the game when it comes to streaming, because it is very clear how many hits, how many evades, and it's easy for not only the people watching at home, but oh my goodness, it's so much easier as a commentator to be able to update stats. And I understand that some people are like, they're weird about dice. I'm going to say weird because for me, like, I don't care. Like, I'll use your dice, my dice. It doesn't matter to me. I'll roll on the table in a wooden box. Like, I did have somebody one time say, like, you know, I understand that you want me to roll in this box, but I really prefer rolling in birchwood boxes and not that. He said something, whatever mine is. And I'm like, all right, that's fine, man. Don't worry about it. Roll wherever you want. And that comes to player habit, is what I wanted to get to, is for instance, if you're a person, if you really don't want to roll in the box, which is fine. At minimum, when you're playing on stream, it's important to, like, it's a 50-50. Like, I'm going to take care of you, you take care of me, and what I want is at least place the dice in the box. Like, after you roll them, if you mess up, put it in there. And if there is a dice box, it's important that you and your opponent come to an agreement before you start the game. Because it has happened many times where this awkward situation where, so I'll to you three gentlemen, is like, let's say I rolled a dice, right? I rolled three attack dice and one of them falls out the box. Does the result count if it's still on the table, or do I have to
establish those rules ahead of time? I always tell my opponent, if it bounces out of the box, it doesn't count. I'm going to reroll.
Okay. And that's fine. Come to that consensus with your opponent. Communication. Talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and I know people who go both ways. Like, I play with a guy, and it's hilarious. I play with a guy at our store where he goes, anything goes. If the dice rolls and falls on a shelf like 10 feet behind us, whatever the result is what it is. Like golf rules, wherever it lands. Right? And that's fine. Just come to a consensus with your opponent what the rules are going to be.
You know, that's a good point, because it goes from like sometimes, you know, everyone says cocked eye when it rolls on an asteroid or out of a box or something. But sometimes they don't say it when it's a good result.
Right.
And, you know, having those rules set aside and be like, oh, man, yeah, too bad that crit. Too bad I got to reroll that.
Yeah, you got to take the good with the bad. Got to take the good with
the
bad.
What do you do about Nate Moore when he's playing on stream? His dice app.
His dice app. I tell him to put it in the box, and I berate him when we get home. But that's fine, because he's part of my squadron, and I can do that. Right? And, you know, and that's another thing. Actually, to kind of circle back with when it comes to chat stuff. You have to be careful. Like, if it's somebody you know who's on stream, and you're talking to them, like, you're talking about them the way you would to their face. Like, for instance, we all know, like, you know, Marcel and I and Nate, we rib each other all the time in person. But I can't do that in a Twitch chat if he's playing somewhere else. I can't talk to him the same way, because all of a sudden now, it kind of, like, it gives people, if people start to have license, they're like, oh, if Dion is talked, or this, even if they didn't even know it's me, some random person's talking like that, I guess it's okay to just kind of go, you know, go crazy. So just being cognizant of people don't always pick up on humor. That is a thing for sure.
Well, it's also, he's your boy, so it's, in other words, it's okay if you give him a hard time, but it is not okay if anybody else gives him a hard time, right? Then all of a sudden you protect him.
Exactly.
But you got to be careful opening that door, because, yeah, you want to default to male bonding, and yet now that you're a public persona, and to some extent, suddenly now you can't behave that way anymore, can you?
No, not in public. All right, so I'm gonna go to our Facebook posts here and answer some of these questions.
It's nothing but OCX. Ignore it.
I'm not talking about the Twitch chat. They can keep talking.
No, I'm looking at the I'm looking at the YouTube chat.
I have a combined one on my screen. It has them both right in there. YouTube and Twitch. So Dave Tryon says he doesn't really have any issues playing on stream. And he actually doesn't understand why people are hesitant. And 100%, actually, this next point I really like and is a good point is when you do play on stream, what you do have is you have a record of that game forever, assuming it gets uploaded and all those things. And being able to go back through your thought process and seeing the mistakes you made is an absolutely invaluable learning tool. Like, I love playing on camera for that reason, because I just get to go back and say, man, you know, this spot right here is where I messed up, and I'll make sure in the future not to do X or Y or Z. And that's really important. Any thoughts on that?
Gosh, I've tried to do what you just said, and I got nothing out of it. And I was wondering, maybe it had to do with the angle of the stream, right? Not all streams are created equal, have you noticed? And so maybe some are more useful for gleaning information than others. I don't think any of the ones I've been on, I felt like I got much out of them going back over it.
Yeah.
No. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, we've had some preliminary trials when doing them, and we're just not any good at it yet. So they look like real garbage. And then trying to go back and watch, because we had what we thought was a great match, and we're going back and watching, and the camera's bad, the light's bad. I totally understand that how streams are created equal.
Yep.
So that's a credit to you, Dion, because I've now been involved with several different streamers, and some are better than others, and it's amazing the work that goes into it. But there is time that's needed. And if that's not part of the process, like with your event planner, isn't aware of the setup involved and allocating time for it to allow for it, then it's going to end up as a pretty crappy product, pretty crappy result. So it's nice when they are mindful of what's involved in getting it to look the way it does.
Yeah.
Maybe some people just can't take it either. They can't take the mistakes that they made on stream.
Oh yeah, there's actually, that leads into the next comment here is one of our local guys. His name is Nick Fortuna. He said here, he said, the one time I played on stream, all I could think about is people saying, "Oh good Lord, look at this noob," right? like he says here, I could hear the keys a clicking. Some people are definitely more sensitive to criticism. Or even not even just sensitive to criticism, but sensitive to the possibility of criticism. And I get that. And that would be for me, like, reading that. For me, it's important to understand, like, I understand that some people won't play on stream because of actual anxiety issues. Like, that is a real thing, and I am sensitive to that because I have people in my own family who have had panic attacks and all these things. Like, that's a real medical issue that exists in our world. But at the same time, like, there are plenty of people who need to just, like, you have to end up being okay with it. Like, people are going to look at your game and say that this was good and this was bad, especially if you're the loser. Half the people on my streams lose. 50% has happened every time. Guaranteed. Somebody's going to lose. And it's going to be the experience that you make it. It's either going to be this exciting thing like, hey, I got to play on Gold Squadron podcast stream at this big event. It was pretty awesome. I lost, but hey, you know, I still had a good time. And as long as people are having a good time playing the game, that's something that just adds on to it.
But sometimes you've got reasons why you don't want to be on. Mm-hmm. Cough, cough, Duncan Howard, cough, cough.
Right.
I mean, he's like a unicorn, right? It's like it's a rare mythical beast, and it's difficult to get him on stream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I will tell you, I was joshing him a little bit at Adepticon. I said, man, you know, you've played for Team Covenant on camera. You played for Steel TV on camera. You played for Canada on camera. And then, of course, you know, Worlds is coming up, and now you're just not doing it anymore. I'm noticing a pattern. That's part of our interview at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I was hoping you talks
about
it
a little bit. But yeah, and then another thing when it comes to the Twitch chat and like not all people when it comes to anxiety and being able to take a joke or somebody's ability to take criticism is that some people have the attitude. Or not that, let me not say the attitude. Some people are what I'm going to call like impenetrable. Like it doesn't matter what you say to them. Like your words will never affect them. So one perfect example is like Tyler Tippett. Like he jokingly posts on my thing. Like, how can I make you more comfortable? He goes, I don't care about the Twitch chat. I want a monitor next to the game where I can look at the Twitch chat during the game and I won't care. Right? Like for there are people who won't care and there are people who are on the other side. Worry about the other people. Let's make sure that we're trying to make them comfortable. Is the gist of what we're kind of circling around this a few times is being respectful and making sure that people are are respectful during the game. And I'm gonna actually do a quick call out here. One thing that we are going to start doing is I'm going to be assigning chat moderators, for people who I trust and who I know will be watching the chat. And basically, you know, Twitch chat, in my opinion, should be for in-game discussion, where you're like strategy things, where you're talking about, you know, what do you think this move should be, X, Y, and Z? It's not for being disrespectful for people. So I'm giving people the power to moderators, the power to mute.
In other words, we're going to kick cyberbullies.
Right. It's not tolerated on Gold Squadron's stream. It's something that has just been escalating, and I've gotten to the point where I'm deciding to do it. Some people might look at it as like a censorship issue. It has nothing to do with that. It all has to do with I got an email already, with somebody I was talking about, and they're like, well, what about, you know, people are going to feel like they're being censored. And it's like, you know what? You can, it's my sandbox, right? Be nice in my sandbox or you can't play in the sandbox is the way I'm looking at it.
I don't accept it in my classroom. I'm not accepting it in my Twitch stream.
Correct. Correct. And here's the thing, and I'll be 100% honest here. I have had students, they know that I do this. They know. I have had students take a peek. Younger kids, right? They're middle schoolers, going like, Mr. Morales, like they've jumped in the chat. What are you doing? And it does worry me, like sometimes the amount of vitriol that ends up in some of these Twitch chats, like I know that it's not just my students. I know that there's other young kids who like X-Wing and they're like, oh, this is cool. And they're exposed to it too. Like this really is a game that is played by from middle school on up. So maybe you don't always think about it, but it happens in there. And if you want to get a little more edgy with your commenting, start a Facebook group, or not a Facebook group, but like a Facebook chat or a Discord chat, and talk amongst the people that you feel comfortable maybe using harsher language. And but in a public forum, let's try to keep it respectful. And I hope that it doesn't upset people that we're going to be moderating our chats now. But if you don't like it, there are very few times you hear me say stuff like this. Like, I don't care if you don't like it. Like, this is, we're going to do it. Because I don't want to get in a situation where eventually people just don't want to play on stream. And that is where I think, like, that's just, I've gotten to that point where it's like, I'm worried and I don't, want to get to that point.
Wholesome. Yeah, I love it.
Send the feedback to feedback at backtodials.com.
Asa will appreciate it for sure. Love that, man. And, you know, there's a long string of comments and things on the Gold Squadron podcast posts. And I know that this episode has been definitely a lot more pointed. Okay, a lot more pointed and serious than most of our podcasts. But this is a subject that I'm really passionate about because I have been this year alone with this season. Like, I've been all over, you know, the United States, and I want to continue doing that, not only just because it's cool, but if I wasn't at every system open minus the first one, just because I couldn't, the date came out too late, I couldn't make it. Like, there's so all these games that would have never been viewable, would have never known how this happens, and watching these games is also how our game develops when it comes to skill and the meta. I know that right now people aren't super pumped about the meta, but when you get to a final game and you get to watch like two great players who've been duking it out this whole tournament, and you see like these two top lists and saying, all right, what's good about these? How are these best players playing them? That's valuable information. And I want to continue to provide that. I want to continue to provide entertainment, because if in the end, the only thing I can do is like, all right, here's a pre-staged game between me and somebody if it's forever just like people at my store, the entertainment value goes down immensely. Like, we need variety. Variety is the spice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
If odds are, just simply because history has shown this to be true more often than not, that Worlds tends to get won by a list that comes out of nowhere that we hadn't seen before. Dengaru aside. Mm-hmm. Other than that, every other time someone thought of something and brought it, and that's what ended up winning. So right now the concern is it going to be Ghost Fen? And you just said no one is too excited about the meta. I'm telling you, every single year, all I've ever heard since 2014 is no one's excited about the meta. It's nothing's changed.
Right.
Nothing's changed. Someone's going to come up with something as an answer, and we're all going to go, wow, probably.
We're all going to try to take that list and play it ourselves.
And then it's going to get nerfed afterwards. How many times did they nerf the world's list? Every time.
Every time, yep. Joan, I want to thank you for joining me. This has been really fun, and it's just a lot easier for me to get these ideas out with having somebody to talk to. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Yeah, as the official bench warmers, since we're not good enough to start, we don't mind being put into the game with only 30 seconds left to play. Thanks, coach.
Someone's got to sit on the bench, man.
That's right.
Some of us just aren't good enough to be first string.
Just because Marcel left you high and dry, don't be bitter. Don't be angry.
Oh,
we love you.
I'm not angry.
No, I'm trying to put words in your mouth. That was okay. That was a bad joke.
I'm full of joy. Full of joy.
That was an indirect shot at Marcel, not you, man.
Oh, that's fine. I know. You do that.
That's what I do.
And this is a discussion that we're gonna continue having over, especially with Worlds creeping up. And it's a discussion I want to continue having. But I want to transition into some little bit lighter things. I think a lot lighter. I have posted, or I will be posting. You know what? I'm gonna do it live right now. How crate of me, right? Like, I'm doing live on air. I'm posting up the 2018 Goldies final voting. If you're not aware, we're the Gold Squadron podcast is hosting an award show of sorts for all kinds of things. And we had, I think it was five, when it came to nominations, five contested categories where, like, when it came to the nomination and initial voting, like, they were so close, it was too close to decide. So I opened it up to multiple choice voting, and I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. We had a bunch of nominees, and here are the last few categories that need to be defined. Best X-Wing podcast was, there were four podcasts at the top of this voting, and they were separated by less than five votes.
Oh, crazy.
In total. And so the finalists were there. And I will say, Gordon, so there was a total of, I think it was like 17 different podcasts.
I'd be shocked if mine was even in there.
You were in there.
Bull.
You were in there. You were like seventh. You were in seventh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is genuine shock on my part. That's cool.
Yeah, right. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So then, so the top four, this is in alphabetical order. Birmingham Barons, Carolina Crates, Gold Squadron Podcast, and Minox Squadron Podcast. So vote for your favorite. I'm not telling you to vote for Gold Squadron. I'm telling you, vote with your heart. Whatever feels good. All right.
No scum and villainy, huh?
They did. You know what? Their people did not represent them. Like, there was some in there, but not nearly enough.
So Stay on Target was higher than Gold than Scum and Villainy.
This is correct.
Wow. Best day ever.
The other category, or the next category, is Best New X-Wing Podcast. So since last Worlds, approximately around when we were posting this, but a year ago, we have four podcasts there, and that's going to be Birmingham Barons, who are nominated for that category as well. Hell of a Pilot out of Australia.
They're funny.
OCX. And
hey, Coach, I ordered a t-shirt. You're welcome.
And right, Thule Squadron. I think I pronounced that correctly. T-H-U-L-E. Thule. They're out of Norway. I think Greenland. No. Iceland. Iceland. I think it's Iceland. I don't know. I'm offending people. Anybody. Some people.
Leave that to Ryan Farmer.
Right. I don't want to butcher.
Yeah.
Is that a category on its own?
It was not. There's going to be some fun ones that weren't part of the voting. You guys will see. There may or may not be, best at butchering names on a podcast award for somebody, but we'll
deal. They're clearly directed at someone.
Correct. Right. The next one that was contested was Best X-Wing Blog / Articles. And that's a three-way voting here between D-Yoon's Dragon Files, Stay on the Leader by David Sutcliffe. And Such an X-Wing Hipster by Phil G.C. And then the last two categories are a competition for repaints and mods. Now, this one was the hardest one to sort through everything because I got links, some pictures, all this kind of stuff. And it came down to these three names for best paint. I will say, and you know what? I can't say your name, but you know who you are. There was actually somebody in both of these categories who asked for his name to be removed. Not because he was like, I'm against this stuff. He just kind of felt embarrassed, like shy embarrassed, which was very shocking for me, for this person. You know who you are. And you'll probably notice what name isn't on this list, people. So you can give him a high five because he was definitely nominated quite a bit.
Well, I know who should win, and Chris just typed it in. Give me the names.
Yeah, Kook Larrington. Anyway, right. So
Luke Sersley asked his name to be removed.
Yes, he did.
Are you out of your mind? You don't listen to him on that. No, cross all the other names off and with crayon, write Luke's name back in there.
I have to respectfully. Like,
oh, no, you don't have to.
I'm all about wholesomeness. Like, that's who I am. God. We just spent this whole podcast talking about wholesomeness.
I just went to dinner with him two nights ago. No. This, nope.
He told me no. He directly told me no.
All right, Luke, if you're listening, you're an idiot. Oh, my God.
So our three finalists, with the fourth one self-disqualifying himself, we got Skull Fire Spray by Michael Reel. We have a like Fire Taxi Shadowcaster by George Della Pina, aka Rasta Mace.
Oh God, his stuff is amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
And a First Order Decimator by Fernando Carabus, a.k.a. KRB Studios. Those are all really awesome. They have pictures and links to, like, more pictures of them if you want them. And then there's also Best X-Wing Mod. You know who was also in this.
Well, because you've seen Tyler Tippett's Decimator, yes?
That is the one that was all, like, it was very much nominated. It was nominated very hard.
What about Sean Anderson? Is his name in there for his the lights?
Yes, it is.
There you go.
So the three here are Sean Anderson's LED Imperial Raider. Then you have Fernando Carabus, his TIE Avenger. It's a First Order TIE Avenger. He like took a it's supposed to be an interceptor, but he like took the wings and like flipped them out and looks really angry. Looking, it's pretty cool. And then the Thunderbird 2, which is a ghost and original shuttle, attack shuttle remodel, where, I mean, these ships look, they're pretty cool. They have like a, has like a fender on one and like these extra wings. It's pretty cool. Again, pictures are in there. Go ahead and do your voting.
I'll shamelessly plug Sean. He's actually thinking about maybe turning that into a business.
That man does some really cool work. What was the name of that event? Crossroad Classics, where they were doing the
gave one away, right?
Yeah, they gave one away, but it wasn't even just lights. Like, it had like a computer in it and did like sounds and things.
Yeah, 2 years ago at Adepticon, he was my Epic team partner. And more people came by just to check out our Raider on the table than even care about the game one way or the other, because it was amazing.
Yep. Yeah, it's awesome. He actually won the mod and repaint contest at our regional, at the Chicago regional, with this Skurg thing that he had. It was like not even on a peg. It was like on like a twisty peg. You could like spin it around. It was crazy. Yeah. Really cool stuff. There's a video and pictures there. So all that will be posted on Facebook. Go ahead, do your voting. I'm closing voting. I know this seems really soon. I'm closing voting on Friday because I need time to order the prizes. And it's already going to be like have to be rush shipped.
Where is this right now?
Say that again?
Where's the voting?
The voting? It's going to be on our Facebook page. I haven't posted it yet because I have to type some like, this is what this is, so people aren't just confused by a link. So I'm going to go ahead and post that literally as soon as we sign off here. And, so participate. It's for prizes. Like, this was a labor of love for sure, and it's not going to be anything too fancy, but just a way to recognize some people. And there were some really strong, again, all the other categories, like those are still things, like those will get announced and they have winners.
Best B team bailout Gold Squadron podcast members.
Yep. Yeah,
for sure.
Only three names were nominated and three winners.
That's right. So it's going to be a good time. That's every year since we've been at Worlds, we've done some type of Worlds get together on the Friday night. So this is going to be our Friday night. It's we're going to try to make this a yearly tradition. The Goldie Awards Friday night, come out BYOB. We'll have some refreshments. It was part of renting the room. It was like, hey, either rent the room for this amount of money or have this amount of money in food. We're like, I guess we'll take food because it's practically free. We already have to pay for the room. So there'll be some food. And it's free to come. Just show up and have a good time. So we'll...
You guys going to have a podcast party again this year?
Yep, this is going to be...
You're going to do what you always do. You're going to hand Ricky the mic and just let him go.
No, not going to happen this time. Sorry.
Oh, yes, it's going to happen.
At least the part that will be controlled, and like I'm going to try to coordinate like having different presenters and things, and that's where the fun of this is going to be.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's going to be, we'll see what happens. So we'll see. It should be a good time. It'll be streamed if we can get an internet connection. It'll at least be recorded. And just something else to add some fun to the X-Wing community. So,
all right, everyone. So one person I did had the opportunity to talk to at Adepticon when we've been talking about streaming and how to go about it was Duncan Howard. He's a great player, one of the best players in the United States, and was part of what I thought was kind of an unfortunate situation with his brother, of all people, on stream, and had a negative experience that I think was didn't have to happen that way. And Duncan, I know you've talked about it a little bit. Can you give just a quick backstory about what happened?
Yeah, so we were the ideal scenario happened in Canadian Nationals. Jeremy and I were playing. We ended up finding out we were in opposite brackets, and we made the finals, both of us winning our games in top 8 and top 4. So, you know, we were just happy jumping around, chanting USA around the room, stuff like that. Anyway, so we set up for our game, and, you know, we still play to the best of our ability, still goofing off a little bit. And we've been pretty tired, played already a couple rounds of X-Wing after not a lot of sleep. So anyway, Jeremy shoots a 5-die harpoon at my quick draw. I don't really remember how much damage I took. And he forgets to apply the condition token. You know, both of us have been playing X-Wing for a while. It's not like any of us purposefully forgot. You know, he forgot to apply it. I forgot to be like, oh, you forgot to apply harpoon condition. Like you see later on in the game, I forget to roll agility dice. You can tell we're both pretty tired. And then later on, he rolls a crit on a TLT shot or something like that. And anyway, so then the chat freaks out. Everyone's yelling at the people who are streaming, and ends up, you know, we're moving our ships for another turn or something like that. And Jeremy's phone goes off. It's not on silent, sitting right next to him. And he looks over and looks back, continues on with his movement. He's going to ignore the phone call, but he does a double take, realizing that it's Paul calling him, of all people. So if Paul's calling you, you know, you messed up in some way. Something happened. we pick up the phone. He asks to speak to the judge. We have him on speakerphone, and then tells the judge what happened. We forgot to trigger harpoon condition. And I was like, wait, there's not even a token down. How do we, like, whoops, right? That's basically where we're at. Whoops. Like, what do we do? And then the judge was like, well, we're kind of too far gone. Like, you know, the decisions would have been made differently if everything was done properly up to this point. Right. Like, so harpoon condition was never applied. Carry on with your game. And I think that made a lot of people pretty upset. You know, Jeremy ended up winning the game anyway, you know, counterless to mine. But I think it's like it kind of brought out not a very good aspect in the community for that. I just, you know, it just kind of turned me off from wanting to stream ever again. You know, I always stream. I only stream if I ever get to the finals or something like that, or if there's no one else who's willing to do it. But it's not my favorite thing to do. You know, it used to be I want to hide my strategy, and then it was like the slightest mess up on stream, people will call you a cheater, you know, stuff like that. The internet's pretty mean place. And, you know, like it just kind of, it just reinforced my, you know, how I feel about it when people sent me private messages afterward, calling me a cheater and stuff like that. So I just not a fan of it. And I, don't want to do it ever again, you know, unless I have to.
I get it. And I want to say, I know, I'm sure VTTV reached out to you, but you know, anybody who reached out to you or your brother and gave you guys negative feedback was just 100% in the wrong. And I know, like, myself as a streamer, like, to hear that anybody who's on my stream, especially, you know, anything accidental, right? Because that's exactly what it came down to. It was an accident. It shouldn't have come down that way. And then I'm gonna turn this around, and I'm just gonna ask you, and I want you to be 100% honest. I mean, that's what Duncan does, right? So, like, yeah. what would have to happen for? I know that just like your personal policy, you usually don't play on stream in Swiss. But let's say you're in the final, not versus your brother. What would have to happen
community wise, or whatever, perfect world for you to feel comfortable playing on stream?
The community just has to stop being so toxic. You know, I mean, obviously it's the internet and, you know, everyone can be anonymous, and I don't think it's going to be resolved. It's just, I think at this point, I'm just kind of turned off from it. It's kind of like a last straw kind of deal. Like, you know, we're playing on stream, like it adds to the nerves and everything like that. And like, we're doing it for the entertainment of all these people who either weren't able to make it to the tournament or something like that. But these like, if you go back and look at any X-Wing stream, it's always that look like cheating, or these players are terrible. And, or, oh, I would have done this mm-hmm. and that would have worked out so much better or something like that. It's just like, I mean, I'll be on stream at Worlds because I have to. I sign a waiver there. I think it's just like, in general, the community needs to stop being so toxic regarding streams. Like, you're not there. You're not on the stream. So you can't judge these people for what they're doing. They're volunteering to be there. So just like, calm it down, guys. We're all playing a game here.
Okay. And then
I don't know if I see like,
go ahead.
If I see a trend towards that, I may start to be on stream more. Like I'll you know, maybe.
All right. And one thing that we've talked about already, you know, in our recording, because you're the bookend, you're the end of the podcast.
Okay.
One thing that that we've talked about already is, you know, some measures that I know that I've taken to protect the players, because when it comes down to it for streaming, of course I want to get games out there, but I'm most cognizant of the players. And some things, for instance, that I don't do is I never keep any of the chats. Like, those are deleted immediately, because mm-hmm. you know, I look at that as a temporary thing, and the players, it shouldn't matter to them what people were saying, because it doesn't matter. We get rid of it. On top of that, I'm even considering going as far as turning off YouTube comments for uploaded games, because again, I want to create a situation where players are comfortable, and it's simply a record of the game. You watch the game and it is what it is, because you're right, you know, most of the comments are people, it's funny, right? Hindsight's 20/20. Like, they'll see somebody do a move, and then they'll say, "Man, you know, the three sloop would have been great there." Like, well, sure, but you only had 50% of the information when you were actually playing, and that was what was in your mind, not the other players. But yeah, I
want like 3 turns ago, he should have turned.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I'm going to flip it now to commentator wise. I know one thing that I'm doing for you as a player and other players is just making sure to be as unbiased as possible during a game and giving both sides of the story. This is how this person can win. This is how this person can do it. And my question for you is, like, as a commentator, my question is, like, what things are you okay with me talking about during a game, and what would be something that you wouldn't want me to bring up during a game?
At this point, I'm not really, I need time to think about this question, but I don't think there's anything I'd be like relatively uncomfortable with you like saying on stream. Like, there's things like, oh, maybe back then I would have done this, and maybe it could have turned out better, but that's a perfect information. Because I think as a commentator, like, being unbiased and one being a bridge of information between the table and the stream, right? Like, some people mm-hmm. might not know what the damage cards are, but you have table audio, so you can tell the commentary and, like, you know, and stuff like that. I don't know. Just I think you're spot on with, you know, unbiased. Like, this is how, like, Duncan might want to approach this, and this is how Duncan's opponent might want to, you know, approach, and they probably know that, so they might change it, like, here, and then before dials are revealed, these are what I would, like, this is what I might do, and this is what targeting priority, et cetera, stuff like that. I don't know if there's anything I'd be uncomfortable, unless, you know, I guess I'll eat those words soon or something like that, you know, if I find out, you know, you're like, man, I really hate Duncan's haircut today or something like that.
Well, of course, you know, I personal stuff doesn't go anything with it unless you have a, like, for instance, you know, 2000 and when was it now? 2000 and the November Worlds, the last November Worlds we had, that awesome Cobra Kai outfit you had on. Like that.
Oh yeah, 2016 Worlds. Yeah, that was a good time.
That's something personal to bring up. Like, Duncan is very strong in his outfit today. You know, stuff like that. That's fine. Speaking
that's what
of
made Kevin,
go ahead.
That's what made Kevin hate me originally. I didn't realize it was a joke.
Oh man, that was hilarious. It was great. I loved it. I personally loved it. So, you know, totally off topic. Did you see that there is like a Cobra Kai YouTube series coming out?
Yes, we should do like a streaming party at Worlds. I have YouTube Red like free for like 3 months because I bought some earbuds or something like that. So we should definitely stream it at Worlds.
All right, we'll make that happen. I'm going to get you on stream no matter what. If it has to be Cobra Kai or whatever, I'm going to make it happen.
Oh, Jesus. Let's reenact the Karate Kid movie at Worlds.
That's right. Well, Duncan, I want to say thank you so much for your time, man. And, you know, you are a great player. And if you do have the opportunity to watch Duncan play in person, there's a lot to learn there. And I look forward to hanging out with you at Worlds, man. And, you know, maybe even getting to play against you at Worlds, because I'm going to get to play this year.
Yeah. Maybe someday. Oh, you are? Which day?
Day 1B.
Oh, shit, man. That day is stacked.
Which day are you playing?
Day 1B.
Oh. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, dude, day 1B is brutal, but it's the best day to play because you get a break day and you get to see the meta from day one. So I think everyone assumed that.
It's going to be a bloodbath. But you know what? That means we're going to have a lot of cool games, a lot of really great games.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to be prime game watching right there.
All right, Duncan. Well, you have a wonderful night. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, you too. All right, have a good one. Bye.
Every turn you move a ship and then a sign in action. Unless you overlap a ship or obstacle you pass. Of course, K4, a tiny expertise, you still get those. Because that's the rules. Rules is written. That's how it goes. Some prefer a time before a combo.
For everybody watching at home, thank you very much for joining us. Who knows? You know what? I might just fire Marcel and Nate and just have these guys on. I don't know.
Jackpot. Finally, my time.
Gold Squadron Podcast 2.0.
That's right.
All righty, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. You can watch our live Twitch videos and all of our streaming at twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast or on our YouTube channel. All of our videos are uploaded to YouTube after we're done, so you can go ahead and head on over there. Just look up Gold Squadron Podcast, all kinds of things. Everything's organized into playlists. And lastly, if you want to support the show, you can go to either Gold Squadron Podcast you can go to GoldSquadronPodcast.com. We got stuff for sale there. You can go to Patreon.com/GoldSquadron, become a Twitch Prime subscriber, whatever feels good, or do none of that. That's okay too. You're here just to, to enjoy. So, thank you to everybody who has supported me. For Gordon, Isaac, and Evan, my name is Dio Morales. Gold Squadron, out.